Well, at a Future of Work summit in Iowa last week, Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta said occupational licensing costs the economy 1.6 million jobs a year. He said states should reform licensing laws to make it easier for people to find work. And there are hairstylists across the country who would agree with him. In 13 states, people who practice natural hair braiding have to get a cosmetology license. Regulators say licensing protects consumers, and not having a license can be expensive. Last month, the Institute for Justice reported that Tennessee has levied nearly $100,000 in fines against hair braiders and shops operating without a license since 2009. Pamela Farrell is co-founder of Cornrows & Company, and she has led a national effort to change the licensing requirements for hair braiders. Pamela, welcome.
Thank you.
So this is personal for you. I understand that you were one of the first people to challenge these licensing requirements in court all the way back in 1991.
Yes, we were the first case for the Institute for Justice, and it was here in Washington, D.C.
What happened? What was your story?
In 1978, I was fired from my part-time job at a fabric store because of my braided hairstyle. And I was so angry, I said that I would braid so many heads that this would not happen to any other woman.
Hmm.
At the time, I was a college student, so I created flyers and started braiding hair out of my apartment to pay the bills. 2 years later, my now husband and I opened Cornrows & Company. I taught other young girls how to braid hair, creating jobs. And then less than 2 years, we get a call from someone telling us to close our business because we don't have a cosmetology license. And, of course, my husband told them no. And we made an agreement with them. If I got a cosmetology license, we could keep the salon open. And I did. I went to cosmetology school. And I would tell any braider or natural hair care person that not to go to cosmetology school.
Really? Why?
Because they don't teach what we do. It is a Eurocentric curriculum. The only thing that they teach you about African-American hair, or what we call circle hair, is to straighten it. So in order to get a license, you have to be proficient in straightening circle hair either with heat or chemicals.
Which is not the point of what you're trying to do.
No. In fact, our whole thing is about natural hair care. It's about celebrating, you know, the hair as it is.
It is a tradition that goes back thousands of years. And let's just talk about that for a second. Tell me about the story of braided hair.
Hair braiding has been around, we know, more than 5,000 years. There have been human remains found where braids are, you know, on the head. It's a cultural practice that has been passed down. There are traditions in terms of how it's taught, who teaches it, and, you know, this has been going on long before cosmetology.
Mm.
Cosmetology in this country was established in 1938.
So about a dozen or so states still require this extra training and this licensing. But I've got to ask you, you know, what is the harm in that, really? I mean, cosmetology is something that is regulated across the country, and this seems to fall under that umbrella.
It doesn't. It would be like transportation, requiring someone who wants to be a pilot to go to school to learn how to drive a truck. Cosmetology is distinctly different from hair braiding. Cosmetology, at one point, African Americans couldn't even go to cosmetology schools. They don't do natural hair care. They don't do hair braiding. Hair braiding is a very distinct, unique skill.
Well, Missouri is one of the states that had been considering a law that would remove the requirement to get a license. It failed last year, but St. Louis Public Radio had a story quoting the director of the International College of Cosmetology, who said that a salon had been cited for setting a woman's hair on fire because an unlicensed hair braider used a lighter to light off the loose ends. That seems problematic, don't you think? I mean, are there safety concerns?
Well, that's questionable. I have never, in the 40 years that I've been practicing, I've never heard of that. Because, first of all, when you're singeing the ends, it's of a synthetic fiber. And synthetic fiber melts. It doesn't burn. Hair would, you know, flame up. So that's questionable. There's always the issue of health and safety. And there have been no cases of complaints about health and safety of braiding salons. Always braiders are cited because of licensing. This has become a licensing issue, not a health and safety issue.
Some supporters say it might also be an issue of political power and that African-American women, who this mostly applies to, don't have the political clout in this country to make their voices heard on this. Do you agree?
Well, no, because we have been fighting this fight, and not only this one, but discrimination in the workplace against braids and natural hairstyles. And we've made changes. Obviously, a lot of the changes that have happened in various states where hair braiders are exempted, that happened as a result of braiders exercising their political power. And I have tracked a pattern of discrimination against people with circle hair have been discriminated against in this country for at least 40 years. And I'm talking about where women have lost their jobs. I recently went before the United States Army and did a presentation because they had changed their grooming policy to ban twist hairstyles. And a twist hairstyle for circle hair is like a blow dry for straight hair. I mean, it's just what we do to our hair. And so this has become the bigger problem, this constant attack on our hair, no matter how it shows up, whether it shows up in the workplace, whether it shows up when we open businesses. And now they have created policies where children cannot wear braids and afros to schools.
That's Pamela Farrell, co-founder of Cornrows & Company. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.